Here we go.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the stream link, go to like the DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cattle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1025 of the Links Link Tech Show, first show for November. Today we have Joe. Joe?
Hello.
And we have Dave.
Hey.
Yeah. And yesterday was Halloween. We're waiting to see if Joel's going to show up. Who knows? We'll see. What's new? I don't know. I'm still transferring this archive to the storage system. It's going on 2 weeks now, and I'm only at 930 gigabytes. So I'm kind of thinking maybe I should do a copy as opposed to a rsync. I don't know why it's going so freaking slow. And the other part of me is like, well,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, because I've been talking for like a minute now.
Oh, now we can hear you. I just heard you go.
How much are you copying, and how much is complete?
It's 4.5 terabytes or 5 terabytes, and it's at 930 gig.
You using a network connection? You said you're using rsync.
Yes.
Oof.
Because now, I did a similar task, but this was in a Kubernetes environment in GKE with a storage volume mounted to a container. So it was in Google's data center, and the storage bucket where this is located is obviously in a Google data center. So that, when I did the rsync to that volume, took like just overnight, and this thing, like, it is running like really, really slow. I suspect, you know, it's one of those things where I could just leave it go, and at the rate it's going, I figure probably another 8 weeks, so sometime in the new year it might finish. It's one of those things, like, I'm already into it. It's like 17% done. And it's one of those, it's like, do I stop it? Because if I stop it and then I try and restart it again, it's just going to take just as long. So,
well, with rsync, you can work around that issue. I mean, there's a way to only copy files that aren't already there.
Yeah, and that's what it's supposed to do, is if you have a number of files there, it's not supposed to recopy them if they haven't changed. But it's going to have to compare signatures and stuff and collect all that information, which is why I'm thinking I should just bite the bullet, stop it, and just do a straight copy. That should go a lot faster. But I don't know. We'll see.
Disk location?
What's that?
Is it on the same disk? You're saying that just a copy will be quicker, but if it's over a network, then you're still going to get the exact same bottleneck.
Well, I've had issues with rsync. It's not a straight rsync. It's Google's utility that does an rsync. So I don't think it's a straight one-to-one rsync here. like we're used to rsync. There's other things I can try to do to tweak it to go a little bit faster, but I just figured, you know, the way I did it before, it should be.
You're going to do a direct copy. Does that mean it's set up as like a NAS, a network share of some kind?
What, the location I'd be pulling from? It's just a storage bucket. Yeah, it's just files.
Okay, and you're pulling it to local?
Yeah, I'm pulling it down here to this external storage device.
Yeah. You figure that the direct copy would still have the exact same limitations as rsync, but you did say it was a different type of rsync.
So. It's from Google Suite's utilities. So it's not like an rsync it's an rsync type command, but it's gsutil rsync is what I'm running, not straight rsync. So there may be some differences from regular rsync.
This is over SSH?
No, it's over Google's authentication services. So you would not be able to, it's encrypted, but you would not be able to, it's not like an SSH session. It uses their authentication library.
You said so it's on some kind of like storage bucket or something like that.
It's a Google storage cloud, a cloud storage bucket.
Is it, can you fuse mount it?
I don't know. That's a good question. You used to be able to, I think.
Well, stuff you used to be able to fuse mount, and then they made sure that you couldn't. It was really annoying.
I mean, it still says that you can do it. So, I don't know. That's a good question.
That would still be like a compressed SSH, but still, it might be quicker.
I wonder if that's available for...
Would be nice, huh?
Yeah, it would be. What was that? Okay, what is it? Pac-Man. What is it? GCS. Well, it might be in the AUR repo. Yeah, it's in the AUR repo. Last updated October 24th. Maybe I'll look into that. See if that makes a difference.
That's what you're going to get for Christmas.
What? GCS Fuse?
If it saves you 6 months.
Yeah, no kidding, right? If it saves me the 6 weeks, 8 weeks, or whatever. Anyway.
Is that how long it's supposed to take to move all that?
Well, that's what it's looking like, because it's been like almost 2 weeks, and I only have out of like 4.5 to 5 terabytes, whatever it is, I only have
a fifth of it.
Yes, 900 gigs. So,
Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah, so we'll see.
4.7?
7 what?
That's running 24/7.
Oh yeah, it's running 24/7. Yeah.
I don't know why all my audio isn't getting to you. I mean, it's showing up as I'm broadcasting.
We hear you.
Well, Dan's evidently not hearing all of what I'm saying.
Well, I heard you say 20. I heard you say 24/7. I wasn't sure if you meant what exactly you were referring to, or it sounded like that. I did. Now when you've repeated it, that's
a couple
what
of times was. When I was talking where you said you couldn't hear me.
I'll let you know if I don't hear you.
How are you going to let me know if you don't hear me when I'm talking?
But anyway, aside from that, it finally came down at work this week that they blessed Ventura for us, and that they said
about damn time
they will be upgrading on November 13th. Monday, November 13th, I believe it was.
Sounds right.
Yeah, and they said it will be done by November. I think they said you're going to start it on November 13th is when you're going to be upgraded. It's going to take 2 hours. But if you want, you can manually do it yourself through the self-service application prior to that. And, I mean, I'll tell you what. I'm trying to remember when I did just a flat OS X upgrade outside of self-service. I don't know. When you go to run the upgrade, they're like, it's going to take about 2 hours and expect your machine to be out of commission for those 2 hours. And so I was like, sure, I don't have anything pressing to do this week yet. Monday? I don't have anything pressing. I'll start it. I started it like around 11 o'clock. And it was downloading what it said it needs to download the update before it can install, which perfectly makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And so I was still working while it was downloading, and it really pisses me off because instead of saying, okay, it's time to do the update, we're ready to go, close all your applications and all that, it just takes the screen and blocks everything. This big splash screen comes up and says, we're now preparing your system for the update. And I was listening to some video on the back. I could still hear that going. All the applications I had open are still open. It won't let me close anything. I can't even see anything. And then for like 20 minutes, that's what it did. Then it rebooted and did the install. It took about an hour, I would say, if that. And came back up. I had Ventura on there, logged in. And, of course, it, you know, half your shit doesn't work anymore. Like VirtualBox was having issues and Vagrant, so required me to approve extensions and reinstall stuff. And when I rebooted, because when you install VirtualBox and it installs the extension in the module, it's like you have to reboot before you can use it. So I rebooted, and this is what really pissed me off. It would not allow me to log in with my password that I had set. And I would try and log in, and it would fail, and I would type it slower and slower and make sure I was typing everything as it was supposed to be. And it still wouldn't accept it. And like after a couple of times, they're like, okay, you're locked out for a minute. And it's like, you're locked out for 5 minutes. Then you're locked out for 15 minutes. Then you're locked out for an hour. And I'm like, gee, man. I've had issues like this in the past where I had to go back to a previous password to get in. And I tried my last three passwords and still none of them. It kept locking me out. So I went, there's like a recovery mode. It says, if you forgot your password, there's one of two ways that you can solve this. Is you could either use your recovery code to get in there, which I don't have a recovery code. Or you can go in under recovery mode and reset your password. And I'm like, it doesn't seem to make sense to get in under recovery mode to reset my password if it won't accept my password now. How's it going to let me reset my password? So I spent some time trying to find like our help desk's options for what I can do to solve this problem, because it's supposed to be synced with AD. So I don't know whether it's trying to hook up with Gannett. Over the internet, which also surprisingly, I didn't see my Wi-Fi connection or my internet connection up listed like it used to be in the login stuff. Anyway, long story short, I couldn't find anything from them. So like to be able to contact them, eventually I gave up and I booted into recovery mode and said, I forgot my password, whatever. And it said, okay, type in your password to unlock the volume so you can change your password. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, okay, so I type in my password, and sure enough, it works. And then I reset my password. And I'm like, this is the stupidest thing in the world.
Wow. Your corporate must be doing something funky ass shit or something, because I upgraded from Monterey to Ventura to Sonoma with no issues. Yeah. Not at all. I mean, granted, I'm not running Vagrant or some of the stuff you're running, but still.
So when I got back, now I have the local OS 10 password, which is not at all synced with AD. And then I have my AD password, which I need to use through Okta and everything else. And there's supposed to be a script that will sync your password. So I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is, I was getting close to having to change my password anyway. I was like 5 days away. So I went and changed my password. And then I went to, there's a script that you can run that's supposed to sync your AD password with the OS 10 keychain so that it becomes your login password on OS 10 also. And I tried to run that script and it failed. And then in the process of all that too, somehow it wiped out all my Slack settings. It wiped out a couple other settings in there. And sure enough, like, you do an upgrade like this and you still have to do Xcode upgrade update, which takes like an hour on top of that before I can get back in. They had to fix Vagrant because that was broken.
You know what they need to do, man? They need to get you a M-series based Mac now.
Dude, I don't know if I want an M-series based Mac, because one of the guys I work with got an M-series based Mac, and the VirtualBox and Vagrant and all that stuff doesn't work well. You know, some of that stuff doesn't work well. So we had to spend I had to walk him through like all afternoon getting our like local development for VIP WordPress set up, which, you know, on the flip side to that is, instead of using like VirtualBox containers, because VirtualBox doesn't work, so it can use, I think, Parallels or Docker containers. And he's over using Docker container on this thing now, and it seems like a little easier like setup, but it was the first time we ever went through that, like having to do it like that with the Docker containers. It worked out pretty well, but it was still a bit of a fiasco that had to deal with there. But you know, when I upgrade Linux on any of my systems, like even Ubuntu will come back and say, You should reboot after this upgrade. It doesn't force a reboot down my throat. And whenever I've updated the OS completely to a new version, regardless of what distribution it has, you know, they're like, okay, now you're finished. You should reboot your system. It didn't block me from doing anything else before I rebooted the system. It just bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Yeah,
but I'm on it. It seems to be working fine. I suspect now when we do get new laptops, I hear they might be rolling some out. I don't know whether I'm scheduled to get one soon or whatever. Who knows? But it's gonna be an M1 from what they say.
M3 or not, though, because I read the M3 chip has lower memory bandwidth than the M2 chip did. But I don't know. You know, I watched their event was a Monday night, and I didn't watch it live. I watched it afterwards, and I actually started watching it, and then I'm like, oh god, this is going so slow. And it was on YouTube, so in YouTube you can double the speed of it, and that's what I did, because, you know, it was just full of shit I did not care about. I'm like, give me the details, tell me how much. But I'd like to get one. I'm actually nearing the mark where I would normally want to do an upgrade. But I think instead of upgrading my laptop, getting a new laptop, I'm probably just going to upgrade it, especially since I've had to have it open already, and it's piece of cake to open this one. It's got an empty M2 slot in there, so I'm going to probably drop another 2 gigabits of or 2 terabytes, I mean, of M2 SSD, and probably upgrade the RAM. I think I can max it out at 40 gigabytes on this one.
You gonna do that?
Probably. I mean, it's going to be less than, way less than a new laptop. I mean, I think I look at the 2 terabytes Samsung drive. I'm going to get like similar drive to what I already put in there after the one that came with failed. That's right around $100, and then the memory's between 60-70, I think, last I checked. Those Samsung Evo M2 drives are pretty fast. And here I'm talking about that stuff, and Miss Dave probably doesn't even have anything that runs an M2 drive.
That's an Apple thing?
No, PCs have them now too. It's a solid state drive.
Oh yeah, I got solid state drives.
Okay.
Isn't necessarily M.2.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
So if you have a solid state SATA, then you might not have an M.2 slot.
Correct.
Yeah, all my computers are refurbished.
All right. Well, then, yeah.
I've got, they're older, like, tablets that run
right.
the 2242s, which is either M.2 or NGFF. And you have to be careful when you're purchasing the M.2 to make sure you have the correct type if you have
right.
a slightly older system. Most of your newer ones will run the B&Ms, but a lot of your older ones will either run an M or a B and will not run the B&Ms.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in, since the Raspberry Pi 5 has, you can buy a board that lets you add an M.2 drive. It's the smaller variant.
From what I understand, they haven't released that yet. The
That's
board.
True.
Even with the release of the Pi 5, they haven't released the adapter board. But
correct.
There are like third-party ones that you can get that will match up.
Interesting. That's cool, because I think I'm thinking of do that. I think once they're gone through their launch and there's actually like stock sitting in places, I might pick up another one. Because I think I did. So I bought the Raspberry Pi Foundation case. Because I wasn't 100% sure whether it would fit in my. Smart Pi LCD case for the official LCD, and that's what I got my Pi 4 in right now. My only criticism of it is it's way too low in resolution. It's like 800 by 480.
Isn't the Pi 5 a slightly different form factor from the 4? Like the power's in a different spot.
Correct. No, well, I'm not the power. The Ethernet port is on the opposite side of the board. All right, it's actually moved back. Like the Pi 4 is actually the anomaly. With the Pi 3 and the Pi 5, it's on the same side on both those. So, but the Smart Pi touchscreen case I have, that end is just open. So, like I can like literally, when it's in the case, I can touch the tops of the USB cable. Ports and the Ethernet jack, so there's nothing restricting it. It does have like that SmartPi case I have also has a fan built in. I bet you I could probably plug it into the fan header that's made for the cooler, or just put the cooler on it instead, and then plug it into the GPIO ports. But to get a little extra, but it will fit in that. The only thing it might not is I'm not sure how, if, because they moved the connector for the screen, it's not right on the edge, and I don't know if it's long enough to get to where it is on the Pi Fi board. So I'm not going to run in on that anyway. I think I'm going to break down and buy a
Pi Fi,
an external screen.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a 7-inch IPS touch screen.
Right.
That looks pretty cool.
There's another one that has a there's like a 10-inch one that I'm trying to remember. Who was I watching that on? There was a video I watched today on YouTube that's talked about this particular subject, what Pi 4 boxes or cases will still work with the Pi 5. And ones that won't, like the Argon 1, it will not work on that one. Any of the ones, like there's some that are like machined out of metal with big, huge heat sinks on them. Those aren't going to work. You know, anything that's...
Have a hole for the power switch.
Well, that's actually another good point, too, is it doesn't really have a hole for the power switch. But it's okay. On mine, what I would do is probably disable the power switch, because the power supply I ended up buying for the Smart Pi setup has a switch in line. So I can just use that. Yeah, we'll shut it down safely and then flip the switch, you know. But I'm going to probably put it in. Well, I bought both. The new official case for the Pi 5 has a fan built into the case. But I also bought the fan that goes right on top of the CPU, and I'm not sure if I could put both of them on. be kind of nice. I'd have more cooling, but I'll probably get like there's several screens I've seen on Amazon and I'm interested in. The ones I'm have been looking at though are 1080p. I'd like to get one that's four K or at least 2K, just because it would be nice to have the extra resolution. But whatever. Because I got the 8 gig version of the Pi 5 coming if it ever ships from SparkFun.
When did you order it?
I ordered it the first day you could on the first, but then on the 13th I decided to order some accessories. So I ordered the active cooler, the RTC battery, because it's got a real-time clock on the board now.
Wait, did the accessories ship separately from the Pi, right?
They will, because I ordered them in two different orders.
Okay, that's one's not going to hold up the other.
Then I got the red. Probably not. No, I got the Pi 5 case, the official one, and the USB-C power. Because I have some. Like I actually got another Anker makes some really great gallium arsenide chargers, and I got another one of them. And I'm not 100% sure it should produce enough power for this, because that's the other thing. The Pi 5 is a little bit more sensitive to that than the Pi 4 was, just because it's much more powerful. So, but I'm kind of anxious to get that. I was playing around with a different OS's using the Raspberry Pi imager today. I tried, there's an Android one which it seemed to work, but the only thing it didn't work on it was, for some reason, it wouldn't connect to my 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. Plus, then I got so far up and it said, oh, log in for your, you know, if you paid for your license. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to pay for a license for Android, so no. I'm not even going to sign up for it. So, then I tried Ubuntu a few times. I tried... one of the things I was trying to do is to figure out why the heck my touch function, the screen worked fine, but the touch functionality wasn't working. I never could get it to work on Ubuntu, and I tried several different ways to get it working, but never did work. So I went dropped back down to Raspberry Pi OS, and the only thing I had to had to run the RPI update, which would update the firmware on the board. Ran that, touchscreen works like a champ. So, including the touch functionality. Yeah, there's something weird in Ubuntu. Plus, Ubuntu doesn't have all the Pi Foundation tools like Raspi config and stuff like that. It does automatically expand the micro SD card, so you don't have to worry about that. And I actually have a, in fact, I might see if I can pick up another one. Sam's Club had 128 gigabyte micro SD cards for like $11. So I think when I go there Friday, I probably pick up another one. They're cheap enough. But
Microcenter of price.
Yeah, but they're SanDisk. So, I mean, they're decent brand.
I actually already gig, have. Micro SD card from Samsung Evo Select on Amazon. And it's currently $28.99.
That's a nice. And I have an interesting thing, and I'm not sure why. Because I never called the bank to figure out why. But I tried to order a Flipper Zero, and even though I had like 3,500 in my account that I was using, it declined my card. The only thing I can figure out is maybe my bank thinks it's a dangerous thing to have, because I know Amazon won't sell it because you can use it to skim credit cards, because it'll read the NFC chip on the most cards. You know, and I don't know if that's the reason or what, but you know, so I decided to buy some clothes instead. And that went right through. So, so like, yeah. Granted, I've had other issues with my bank occasionally, with some places Now, granted, there was an actual problem. Went to the grocery store one weekend and it wouldn't take my card. So, luckily, we had another card and another bank, and that worked. But. But that was all something on the payment provider side for them. But that's okay. Eventually, I'll get one of those things. I'll probably look at possibly getting one on down the road, because I do want to play with that and learn a little bit about the penetration testing. Now today. Another thing it I tried didn't work. I'm probably just going to pick up the phone and call the lady directly, but I went to go online to DeVry.edu to apply for my master's degree. And I got so far that it says, oh, you already have an application started. And I'm like, okay. And it says, sign in to finish it. So I'm like, I don't have a sign in. So I like reset my password. Oh, you can't do that. And I'm like, all right. So I'll just call the lady. I think it ain't going to end up saving me $60, because I think she said, because I'm an alumni, that she would be able to waive the application fee if I just do it over the phone. I just want to do it when to stop care. My goal is to start my program in February. So it's pretty intense. It's the 2 years and months is the one I'm going. Well, I could take it faster if I wanted to, but I don't know if I can. I think that the way that works is, instead of taking one class, you take two classes a term, and I don't really think I want to do that. I'd rather take my time with it, focus on one class at a time, and get it done. So it'll be management information systems and a cybersecurity concentration.
Are you just
personal or for enrichment or looking?
Both.
Like, is your job?
Both.
Your current position, like, benefit from it?
It would eventually if I want to. Most of the managers in my company have at least a master's. Okay. So if I ever want to be a manager at some point, then I want to get that degree. Yeah, I'm 52 and I'm not, you know, looking what between 15 to 20 years until retirement, depending on how things go financially in the markets. But now, did you see what happened to Pat?
Oh, I haven't heard.
He got laid off.
Yeah, that was a couple months ago, right?
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I'm trying to figure it out, because I just saw it this week on LinkedIn. But I had a friend at church. He worked directly for VMware.
I don't think you might have not been on the show at the time when he mentioned that. So I didn't know you didn't know. Yeah, that was that's why he hasn't been on for a while. I guess he was looking for a job and stuff.
Right. I know Alan's still looking probably. But Fred the church also got laid off. He worked for VMware, and VMware just got bought by Broadcom.
Oh boy!
It was a big layoff. It makes me wonder too if Manfred got laid off too, possibly.
I haven't heard that he had.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Now, granted, I think Tom, who was my friend from church, he I think he was like a manager in global support or something, but he was due to take a trip to England this same week, and then he wasn't supposed to fly out until like Friday last weekend, and he ended up finding out the Monday, and they said, "Yeah, you're not going to England." And he's like, yep, okay. But, so there's 1, 2, 3, and then the podcast I do on Sundays, the iTech Gear Weekly, the guy who, pays all the bills there, he got laid off too. He was working in the healthcare sector, doing quality assurance on software. So it's scary out there. So I want to make sure that I up my education game just so that I stuff to fall back on.
There you go.
Yeah, and a company will pay 90% of it. And I'll get a 20% discount because I'm an alumni. Because this all came out of I'm trying to remember how it worked out, but for a long time they kind of operated as separate entities: DeVry University or DeVry Institute, and Keller Graduate School, which was a private graduate school. For-profit one, and I don't remember when they bought it for as long as I can remember, but now they're just a fry. They moved too since I graduated too. They used to be a little closer to where I'm at now, but not that it matters because the classes I'm going to be taking are all online. Which is that's just cool. Fine for me. Yeah. And I don't have to write a thesis. Near I can tell anyway.
That's cool. Oy, oy, oy.
But Halloween was cold as hell last night.
It was rainy and chilly here.
We were having snow flurries.
There you go. Joe, you getting snow flurries down there?
Nope.
Freezing. And it's supposed to get close to freezing tonight. No. Like yesterday, it was 28.
Supposed to be 24 here tonight.
Well, tonight it's only supposed to get down to like 36 or something, so.
See, it's already 33 right now.
40 right here. Thankfully.
You keep that shit there.
It's 31 now, actually.
You keep your snow and all your bullshit up there.
I'm in agreement. 27 degrees looks like the low tonight.
That's only 45 here. So.
Yeah.
We got decent weather. Not the weather that I like. I would like it like 40 degrees warmer, but.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I'm trying to think if I actually prefer colder weather. I mean, I like warmer weather, but I don't like 90 degree and humid weather. That's bullshit.
I can argue with you there. I mean, I like warmer weather, but I definitely prefer it to be not humid.
Yeah. You know, and I've been down in your area when it was 118 degrees out and not humid, and I still don't like it.
You know, yeah, 118, 120 in that range, it still sucks when it's that hot, but especially in Texas with the way the power grid is. But yeah, I'd prefer that over like -3.
I don't think we've had it that cold since we've moved to the new place here. We did. It got really cold the year we were in the apartment.
I've lived in places where it did get that cold and even colder. But, you know, I'll stay to the south. I was much younger when I was living in those cold places. So, yeah, I'm too old for that shit.
Dave, I think, has about weather most of the time.
It was perfect today, but today was more like January than no. But our normal high and low is at 50 and 30, you know, in January. And
that's right.
I like it colder than that, but I'm, you know, this is probably the first year I've actually wanted snow this winter because I'm not working and I don't have to worry about driving in.
He's like, I'd love to see it.
Oh, yeah. This year I would.
Our 10-day forecast, towards the end of it, we're looking in the 70s and 80s again, so.
Oof.
Probably are, too. I'm not look.
I might have to order this jacket.
For 76 next week.
I ordered a battery-powered heated vest. I love that thing. It's awesome.
How's that work?
Make sure you, well, it's just got heating coils in it, like anything else. They're USB powered, and you plug in a 2-amp output battery, and you do have to put something over it to, you know, help reflect the heat back in, but yeah, it works.
That's
somebody else. Joel got booted. There's Joel.
What happened, Joel?
I don't know. Every once in a while, this will happen to me. Ever since the latest Ubuntu, which I think it's happening when like there's a like one of the windows in a browser makes a sound, and then it cuts all sound off of Mumble. So, and I'm using the Pulse? I think Pulse Audio. I think I don't know.
Pulse or Popwire.
Right. So, I don't know. Something's going on with it. It happened. That's been that happened last week too a few times. Maybe I should just stop browsing in the background while we're talking.
Browsing those porn sites.
Okay.
Porn sites, no.
Nice going for you, Joel.
starting next Friday, I'm off every Friday the rest of the year. Because I had vacation to eat up. It also means I'm not on call on the weekends.
Take every Friday and a month off, so that way I can burn through vacation. I've done that before.
Yep. I might do that later, earlier in the year. Although I'm thinking about, I gotta see if there's a vintage computer festival on the East. I know there's one. I think there's one on the East Coast, but I'd like to go down to more about your area there, Dave, because I love the Carolinas to visit them. But
I need to.
I don't know if we have one.
They do in the Chicagoland area, and that's the Midwest VCF. And they had the 8-Bit guy was there this year, as well as Clip Bassinger from the Lazy Game Reviews channel.
I need to find another place for used computer parts.
VCF East, according to Murph, is in Wall, New Jersey. And I'm sorry, Murph, I hate New Jersey. I don't know if I'd want to go there.
You know, I should know what vintage computer fests are coming up, because I listen to Floppy Days, and he always goes through them at the beginning of each show.
Does he?
What shows are coming up. Because he's always going to a bunch of those different VCF shows.
Right. Well, because heck, some of the stuff that we used to use is now vintage. Even when the show existed is now vintage. Like my MacBook or PowerBook G4. That's vintage now, because, you know, what can it run? I mean, I don't think you can get a modern Linux distro to run on it anymore.
Yeah, what was it? Yep. Yellow Dog?
Yeah, Yellow Dog. But one Mac I had, I ran Snow Leopard on it for like 10 minutes and just put Yellow Dog on it.
Distros that are doing 3256.
Yeah, I think it's gone now, though. Well, that's the thing is, the G4 is 30. I think G4 is 32, ain't it?
Doing 32-bit?
Let me Google it. And Yellow Dog, I think, is also defunct now.
Yeah, it hasn't been around in a while.
No, somebody said Void Linux, but they're not around anymore.
Yeah, they're not.
What about Menu? What's that? Mint PPC. Is that still going on?
I know Ubuntu dropped support for PPC altogether.
I'd like to have my Sparkbox back. Those.
I'd like to get like an Ultra 60 or something. They're pretty high on eBay. Especially since I think Spark's defunct now, too.
So you were saying you have to find a new place to get used parts. Where were you getting?
Found all the Goodwill for computer parts. They used to have some like really good stores just with donated computer parts that people had. So I used to have a whole lot of fun going in there and getting cases or full computers a couple of times, but or just, you know, random parts.
I think
I enjoyed it, but I think they moved everything
online.
yeah, they moved everything online.
Yeah. Look at it, shop.google.com.
Yeah, you you end up discovering that they ended up discovering they figured out can get more money doing that than they could selling them in the local stores.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened. But I went
to local stores was saving money. It was also a good place to like get broken headsets.
Goodwill used to have a deal with Dell, I think, at one point. There's a Sun 600 Ultra 60 Creator 3D workstation with the Ultra Spark 2 in it for $175 on eBay, and it looks rough. Yeah, I don't want to buy something and spend my time fixing it. It better look good when I'm buying it, and I wouldn't even try on this one. It looks like hell. It looks like it must have been sitting in like a warehouse or something running a printer. Now this doesn't look too bad. This doesn't look too bad, but then it says no hard drive, and I'm like, well, I don't want that either. Because Lord knows what kind of proprietary crap that Sun used for their hard drives.
So there's a Debian PPC release that was 8.11 was the last one they did for the 32-bit. And there's also so that was to the end of June, but there's a PPC Mint or Mint PPC, which takes that and does Linux Mint on top of it. And they just released some updates this past month.
Interesting.
Let me see where.
I'd have to look at that because the form factor that it's the 12-inch PowerBook. They don't even make in fact, I think they discontinued the 13-inch MacBook Pro when they brought out the Touch Bar is dead now too.
Oh, good.
Dan hated that fucker.
I still hate it. I hate it every day.
Yep, all the new Macs don't have them. Every single new Mac doesn't have it.
What happened? I thought Apple's that was like their genius design at work there.
I guess they figured out people hated it.
Oh.
I'm still trying to figure out why they're dealing with the Mac. I guess schools are buying the iMac still. Because I have no desire to buy an all-in-one. At one point, it did.
Are they still selling an iMac? Wow.
They are, and they're really nice looking, but it's like, why would I spend money on that and just spend almost the same money on a MacBook and be done with it?
Well, you know what? You're right. Because I know my daughter's school. I see this right now, and I'm like, oh, they have a bunch of those.
Yeah, they're real thin things. Yeah.
I don't think it's the M3 chip that they have right now. It's probably a couple years old. I mean, yay. Ay, ay, ay. Want to hear something really shitty?
You're not going to fart the microphone, are you?
Nah, I should, though. You like that. Joe, I'd only do that if the smell would carry. So, little backstory. I can't remember whether it was right before or right at the beginning of COVID. The dishwasher that we had in here broke. And I was out of a dishwasher for, holy moly, up through the summer. And when you have like five people living in the house and having to do all the dishes for them, it was a pain in the ass. Anyway, but it got through. And they, because we're renting here, obviously, because we can't buy, they said,
due to supply chain issues, we can't get another dishwasher or parts to fix it, whatever. And I don't think they could have fixed it because it was really old. So I guess at some point, I can't remember when it was, but it was like 6+ months later, when they were doing maintenance back in, I guess they pulled an old unit out of and replaced mine with a dishwasher from another unit when somebody had moved out. And that ran until July of this year. And the control board on that went. So they came in and this time replaced it with a brand new dishwasher in July. And it was running great and I loved it, right? And I was keeping the screens clean, the filters on that thing clean on a weekly, sometimes bi-weekly basis, made sure that they weren't obstructed, everything, it was working fine, and I was loving it. My dishes never looked better. So to my big disappointment, last week it just stopped working, right? So it would drain and it would fill, but it wouldn't spray water. So I did some troubleshooting and did some looking online, and they said this could be a couple of different things. What you can do is try resetting it. The way that you can reset it, it's a Whirlpool dishwasher. The way that you reset it is shut the power off to it for 15 minutes and turn it back on, and maybe that'll fix it. There's a switch underneath that. Maybe that went bad, or it could be a faulty pump or whatever. And so,
makes me wonder when yours was made, because my heating element, I think my heating element's, it still washes dishes, but the heating element's not working.
So the
resetting didn't work, and I'm like, I'm not going to take this apart because it's a brand new dishwasher and it's probably under warranty and I don't want to jeopardize any warranty. So I put in a maintenance request and the guy came out and he's like, I'll tell you what kills these dishwashers is when people don't wash off their food and on the plates and stuff like that, and they let it through and it burns out the motors and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I've been doing that. I've been keeping the screens clean. It almost looks like you can eat off of the inside of the dishwasher, right? Because I've been really up this. So he took it apart. He came back. He took the whole damn thing out, took it back to the office, came back with it. And he's like, the pump is burned out. We're going to have to order you a new pump. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Right?
I'm like, that's weird, but whatever. And then the next day I get an email from the property manager. And I'm going to read it directly to you because it starts off at 11 instead of, you know, how you would normally expect. And she's like, attached, you will find photos of the food particles that were still evident in the pump and screen of the brand new dishwasher that was installed in your home in July of this year. The pump assembly was completely burned out due to food, etc., continuously passing through it. The cost to replace the pump is $175.80 and will be billed to your account. All dishes should have the food scraped off into the trash can and then rinse completely before placing them into the dishwasher. I have ordered a part once you have made the payment for the cost of the new pump assembly and the part has been received. I'll arrange for the maintenance to install it. Please let me know if you have any questions. And she sent me pictures. And what the pictures are of the screen and the filter. And there is a little piece of cheese and a piece of hair on this. And my response
and that's to it,
was,
huh?
Yeah, that's it. My response to them was, that is absurd. That is absolutely absurd.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if...
Wash your dishes.
I said, that is absurd. This is what the screen and filter are for, to catch food particles. I have been cleaning that thing on a weekly basis. I've never had a problem like this with any other dishwasher. In fact, do a search, and by all recommendations, dishes do not have to be rinsed before putting in a dishwasher. I was making every effort to rinse dishes before putting them in the washer. That filter and screen look brand new. If it is that much of a problem, forget about fixing it. I will do it myself. Then I sent her a link straight from Whirlpool.
So number five, save yourself time and energy and refrain from pre-rinsing dishes before loading your dishwasher. Dishwasher detergent is designed to interact with food particles on your dirty dishes, so rinsing them beforehand may actually inhibit the cleaning cycle. Whirlpool dishwasher designed to help you get the clean you need, and select models feature a soil sensor that determines how dirty your dishes are and adjusts normal cycle to help you ensure optimal cleaning. I said this is a brand new dishwasher. It should be under warranty. Given that Whirlpool specifically states to not pre-rinse dishes, I cannot believe that they would then turn around and say not covered under warranty. You look at that filter and it looks almost the same as when it was installed. Now, if they are giving you a problem, give me the necessary information and I will take it up with them. I said Whirlpool warranty states dishwasher parts are covered for 1 year under warranty. I did more than follow proper procedures when using this dishwasher, so I cannot imagine how it was used to be the cause of the fault. And I said, send it a link to the warranties. The pictures show a bit of hair and some cheese. I have seen far dirtier filters on washers running for years. Then the response was, the concept of manufacturers stating that it is okay to do certain things is no different than companies who make wet wipes saying that it's okay to flush them down toilets, when in fact any plumber will tell you that it is not okay. Whirlpool may or may not cover the repair under warranty. However, I will make the effort to reach out to them and set up an appointment. If it ends up not being covered by the warranty, you would then be liable for the service call charge as well as the repair. Be advised that their turnaround time on scheduling appointments is very slow. And I'm like, I'm like, what the fuck, man? Whirlpool specifically states do not rinse the dishes. It takes years to burn out a pump of food particles, not 3 months. The pump is not clogged. If you are going to charge me for the service, then let me contact them and arrange it. And she said, with all due respect, you are not the customer who has the relationship with the contractor. FMA is. I will make the call as I stated. I do not know if they will cover it or not. I said, this is a brand new dishwasher. Why is your first course of action to charge me for repairing it instead of following proper warranty procedure? Since the answer is because it's a brand new dishwasher and the pump assembly, according to my lead technician, has been completely burned out. It should not have burned out when this machine is only 7 months old. No fucking shit, right? As I stated in my previous emails, I would contact Whirlpool, and I'm like, thank you. I'm like, if it's a 4 month old dishwasher and the pump shouldn't burn out, and I followed the procedures, and the dishwasher screen and filter look perfectly clean, except for a little piece of cheese and a piece of hair, why are you coming at me hardcore like that?
Right.
That is like total. Yeah,
this is why I don't rent.
And you know what?
Here's the fun. Yeah, this is the funny thing. When I rented that apartment for 8 months, right? You know? Okay. They, apartment complex, set up the water billing. Okay? And apparently it's in arrears. So when we moved out, did Joel get his deposit back? Nope, I didn't. The water bill for the last month or two that we were in there, it's just ridiculous.
Did they send you an itemized list of where your security deposit went?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. I was going to say, they have 30 days to do that, and that's uncommon... trick that they try and pull and just not tell you and keep your money.
Right. You know, never mind that the whole apartment complex had to be stuck with AT&T 50 megabit download internet. And it's the year 2020. It's like, come on. But I'm done with that shit. You know, and that's like I have, like I said, I think the heating element in ours is out. It still runs, the washes them. It's just the dishes are still wet when you take them out. And you know, I could call and I'm hesitating to want to even. I don't want to fix it because I'm not good at that shit. I mean, if push comes to shove and I can get the part faster than any repair place, repair places are getting parts. It took over a month for the one company we had a warranty plan with, which we don't have one for anymore. It took over a month to get them to fix my clothes washer. It's like I'm hesitant to want to call any other place and have them take a look at this thing. It's like it's probably just out of the warranty, you know, because it's 2 years old now. So it's like, you know. it might just be better off me buying a new machine, having Lowe's come the old one out, take it away, and put the new one in. Not to mention the fact I'd put one in, I'd be buying one that's a higher quality one than the piece of shit that they put in here in a new house. But the rest of the stuff is pretty good. The mic's kind of crappy too, but it works. The part that is kind of crappy is that it seems like there's a board inside that it's common with this particular microwave that it fails in such a way that it will never off the light on the stove. Now, I don't know if I might try getting like some incandescents, because that's how it shipped. All right. Was with those in the one over the stove. But I found some LED ones, and that's probably why it currently has the issue it does now. I'm just not fucking with it. I'm just like, you know, it's an LED. It'll last. If it burns out, I'll just buy new light bulbs and see if it works. And eventually, like I said, I'm going to probably replace that too. It's not like a microwave costs thousands of dollars, you know. And I can pick the one I want. Doesn't have to have all the tech stuff in it, you know, and then have them come and install it so I don't have to dick with it. But like I said, it's still the important parts of it still work. So who gives a shit if the light bulb's on all the time? Especially since I replaced it with an LED one.
That dishwasher story sucks, Dan.
Yeah, it does. Because your skin, when you wash them by hand, my skin already gets dry as hell in this weather. When you wash them by hand,
ugh. So I was going to question.
What was the question, Dan?
Dishwasher story, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind washing the dishes. Like, I'll tell you what. I was working. Was it yesterday? Yeah, I was working yesterday. And I got a message from my wife. And she's like, F the property manager. Like, what? And I, like, look at my email. And that's when I saw it. And my blood pressure just went right through the roof. It totally wrecked my day. And I'm like, you know what? If she would have said, hey, the dishwasher is new. It's under warranty. We're going to have them look at it. But if they determine that it was, you know, for some reason that it's not covered, we're going to have to charge you. I could have understood, you know, we could have worked with that. Like I would have been, I don't see why they wouldn't, because I followed the manufacturer's procedure. Right. And the picture you sent me of the filter and everything, there was no picture of the pump, had like a speck of cheese and some hair on it. And you're telling me that burned out the pump? That's bullshit. Don't fucking lie to me and accuse me of abusing the dishwasher and then tell me you're going to charge me to get it fixed. Right? Like, why? Like, what is your problem that's how you start off talking to people? They live in their own little
fiefdom, is what it is.
It's really their job to make sure that, you know, your warranty doesn't mean shit.
Like, and I'm like, you know, why didn't we start with the warranty? Because it is brand new. Why did you immediately go to, well, we're going to order a pump? Like, why would you do that? You paid for this thing. It's under warranty. And I should have known this is the kind of shit that was going to happen, because when the guy came in, he's like, yeah, usually when we have a problem like this is because people aren't cleaning off their dishes. And his food's like, don't give me that shit. You could put dirty dishes in the dishwasher all day long. They're designed to do that. Yep. It takes years to burn out the motor like that. Pissing me off. Say, you know, you're not supposed to flush baby wipes down. I'm like, we're not talking about baby wipes. We're talking about a freaking
dishwasher asshole.
Oh, totally, like, really chapped my ass, man. Ruined my whole day, man. I was so pissed. I wanted to punch holes in the wall.
That makes me feel better about my week. I've had to struggle with two flat tires, one on my truck and one on my daughter's Pilot. And but I plugged the first one. I gotta work on the other one tomorrow.
How'd you plug it yourself?
I just with a tire plug. It.
Yeah, they sell them at you can get them at the auto parts stores.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Wait, that's not the fix a flat thing?
No, it's just a rubber plug. I mean, it's rubber fiber looking material, and you poke it down in a hole and twist in.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That, you know, yep. You can only do it. It's on like the flat surface of the top of the
yes. If it's the sidewall, that's a new tire.
Yeah.
Well,
is that just enough so you can get it to the place?
You can drive on it. Huh. I mean, I've
had
two or three plugs in the tire before.
What is it called?
Tire
plug kit.
Tire plug.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Oh yeah, you can fix a tire for $1.50.
Saved your property.
But you know what was aggravating about it is my truck is a 98 Nissan. It's old. I got it when my daughter totaled that Civic that I had. My oldest daughter's driven it. My son-in-law's driven it. Now it's back in my hands, and I've had it for back here a couple of 3 years. But my son-in-law, because I was lazy to put the temporary spare when my daughter had a flat tire back where it belonged, I just threw it in the bed of the truck. Took it out because he needed the truck space. I mean, the space.
No plan, no spare tire.
So I did find it, but I went to the tire place in town last week, and he had a temporary spare. He said, "You got the wheel?" I said, "No, I lost it." He says, "Go to a junkyard." Anyway, the day that I find the temporary spare is the day I noticed tires flat. So I lucked out, but I had to borrow an impact driver to get the tire off. Because one of the lug nuts was all knurled up. Anyway, got that done, and 24 hours later, my daughter calls me and said, "I got a flat tire." I said, "What do you mean flat tire?" She said, "The light's on." I said, "Well, that doesn't mean it's flat yet. It just could be a slow leak. It's gotten cold. Maybe you lost pressure."
Got it on.
I drove it to the gas station, put air in it, drove it back home, went inside thinking problem solved, and go back outside 20 minutes later, it's as flat as it can be. I got to change that.
Yep. It's like my car. I don't. It has the wheel locks on it. Came with it from the factory.
Yeah.
So, but
that on this Pilot. It's a 2010, but I think it's got wheel locks. But that Nissan, it's a 98. It doesn't have wheel locks. That's the best $1,500 cup truck I've ever owned. It's been a good one. I mean. It's 25 years old and it's still going.
Yep. Well, it's like one of my favorite. I watch a lot of the van life YouTubers. One of the ones I watch is Van City Van Life, and his van just threw an engine. All right, it's one of those 40 Econolines, and he's put so much other stuff into it because it started out as just like a 50 cargo van, you know, and he's put a lot of work into it, got cabinets and stuff installed, his bed and the diesel heater and all this stuff. He lives in it because he doesn't want to pay rent. But he just decided to release the engine in it, and this is a really old Econoline. So, granted, the Econoline van parts are so cheap, you know, so it ended up, it's going to cost him a few thousand, of course, but. You know, he's gonna do that, and he's starting a new business. I guess he hadn't shared the name of it yet. But he's gonna be making like T-shirts and stuff, because he did like do merch for his channel, and had paid like got a deal with a company like Teespring or something like that, and the T-shirts just didn't look good. So he decided I'm just gonna start making them on my own. So. We'll see how that venture goes out. But he's pretty interesting. There's another guy, I just found his channel the other day where he lived in a Chevy Suburban. He had a Sprinter at one point. But the most interesting one on that one was he retrofitted all the stuff he needed to live inside of his Camaro, like a 2010 Camaro. You know, that those are tiny, yeah, man. I'm like, how? I could not do that.
I've seen a YouTube channel too where people were stealth camping in Priuses.
Yep. Well, that's another one of my favorite ones. Nikki Delventhal, she was a Giants cheerleader at one point, but she and her dog were living in a Prius for a long, like 3 years, and she bought and built out her her dream Sprinter van, a four-wheel drive Sprinter van. Those things are expensive. Oof. 80 grand just to get the van. That add all the stuff in it that you want, the storage and all that. My wife wants to get an RV. I'd be fine with a Silverado and a camper trailer. Yeah, I emailed Alan to see how he's doing. He's still unemployed. He said he might have to start looking at warehouse jobs.
Yep. That sucks.
Alan got the same problem that my dad had when he got laid off. Is one, he's up there in age, and two, he had a job forever that didn't require a specific college degree and all this training and stuff. He had a lot of on-the-job training and things like that, and then they laid him off, and then it wants you to have a four-year degree, and even if, I don't know why, you know, it never, his experience doesn't matter, you know?
I got laid off once in the 90s, and that was bad enough, but luckily it didn't happen again.
Technically, I did too, and I did collect unemployment briefly, but that's like I got a seasonal job at a Kohl's department store 1 year. I think it was right after college, and I was still looking for a job with my college degree, and I quit all my jobs I had because I thought, I'll take a month or two, and mom supported me in that, and try and find a good job using my degree and all that. That didn't pan out. So I worked at Lowe's or Kohl's for a while, and then when they were opening up brand new Meijer, well, it's not brand new anymore, but they opened up a brand new Meijer up on the north side of Columbus. I got a job there, and then while I was there, I got started part time at the college, and then became full time mainframe mocker. And then while I was there, they trained me to learn the things I needed to do the job that I do today. So
I was wrong. It was 2003. I was approaching halfway through the career that I retired from.
Right. And,
but they just, my department, they laid off everybody that was making the most. It was a cost saving thing, and they kept all the inexperienced workers.
Yeah, they always do that.
Wonder how that turned out for them.
Yeah, because boss got laid off too, and he's the one that hired me back at another company doing the same thing. It worked out okay in the end.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Well, here's how it turned out, Joe, is that the company I retired from ended up buying that company.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. The the job placement at DeVry did not really help me too much when I graduated. They got me a job, but it was paying $6 an hour ripping apart 30-year-old cable taps. I'm like, this is not really using my bachelor's degree. Now, well, that's what I did for the first week. Then the second week, I started. I was behind like a senior tech, and they had me pull the iron module out of the cable boxes that they had, and then I had to replace the caps in that, all the capacitors in there. So I soldered all those back together, and then passed it on to the tech. The one tech I couldn't go fast enough, and the other tech I went so damn fast that I had like all my boxes done, and she was still troubleshooting the first one. You know, and the company while I was there, all the permanent employees were around wondering whether they're going to get paid next week, right? Because that's how bad this company was doing. That company no longer exists. They built Nationwide Arena right down the street from it. Area right in around there is where my wife's doctor, obstetrics doctor, gynecologist, she, they're in this place, Grandview Yard, I think you could call it, here in Columbus, and there's all these like apartments and houses, like houses that are like only stepped by like a foot. And I'm like, no way, I'd never move in any of those. I want at least 20 feet between the houses. I think we got about 50 to 100 here.
I like not being able to see my neighbor. Oh, I know where they live, but I can't see them.
Well, I do too, but we had to stay in Franklin County for my wife's part of my wife's employment, which take care of my son. She gets paid to do that because of his disability. Yeah, my health insurance is going up 9% next year. Already enrolled, and I upgraded my vision because I figured I'm probably gonna end up getting 1 to 2 pairs of glasses every year or so. Last time I got glasses, I got the bifocals I'm wearing with the transitions, and I got a pair of the prescription sunglasses. Those were the best investment I made, man.
Where you can't see your phone.
Yeah, well, that I chose to get polarized lenses. If I do that again, I'm probably not going to get polarized lenses. I still want the tint, you know. But the polarized lenses, I can't see. I can see my phone, but I can't see other LCDs.
Like your watch.
Yeah,
the watch too.
Reason to get polarized? I mean, unless you're like a professional fisherman or something.
It cuts the glare down.
Yeah, I got anti-glare. I got anti-glare coating on mine. They're not polarized. Right.
Yeah, I knew I wanted polarized at the time, and it's dealable. I mean, I can see all the screens I have to see when I'm out and about where I'd actually wear them. I can see. I can see my watch. I can see my phone. I can see my infotainment in the car, and I can see all the dials in the car. Those are all fine, you know. But like when I walk in the house and I'm still wearing them, and I look over it, like I have one of them Google Home hubs sitting in the kitchen. I look over that, and I can't see shit. Sensation just matches right with that one. I haven't tried looking at a laptop with them on. Let me see. The one I'm using here, I think, is an OLED, and I know my Mac my Mac isn't an OLED. Huh, I'm trying to remember which screens are OLED or not that I have around here. I'm pretty sure the one I'm using here, it's my older yoga book. It's about 5 years old now. Actually older than that, because I got this, then I got Surface, and then I got the one I had that I used for my Lightroom setup that I got 2 years ago. It's okay. Linux on it makes it runs like a top. Yeah, I think when I replace my other Windows laptop, I'm probably gonna put Linux on my Surface Pro 6. I'm surprised I ain't done it yet.
Okay. So much for being a Linux enthusiast.
I use a ton of Linux. I got three Raspberry Pis doing. I do have Windows subsystem for Linux on it. You know, if Adobe would make Creative Cloud for Linux, this wouldn't be an issue. But they don't.
Yeah, I guess we gotta start packing this up, huh?
Is it 9 o'clock?
Yes, sir. It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
9 o'clock?
9 for you, because you're in Central.
Daylight savings time next week?
Oh, yeah.
I look forward to it.
But we're switching back standard time, and I have to remind people this is the way it's supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
I got to go all through all the fun right now for a whole week of, Europe did their daylight savings time thing last weekend, and all my timings are off for all the jobs that we use, and they keep throwing errors because they're all running an hour late.
See, India doesn't move, so I think our on-call will be 11 to 7 now, I think.
Adjust shifts.
I confirm that.
I got to adjust the shift, second shift, so that they're running at the correct time for the handover to the India team.
Yeah, that's exciting. At least it's not like when I was a mainframe operator, we literally would have a short 2-3 hour daylight savings time cutover where we would shut the mainframe down. You change the time on the controller, which is essentially was a PC, and then you start the mainframe back up. It was about 2 hours total just because it took so much time to shut everything down. But I don't have to deal with that on servers now.
I'll let you know next Wednesday how my job is affected, which is watching my 4-month-old grandson, and his job schedule is older than crying. So I think this, I've got him on a schedule. He's going to be screwed up, I think, this hour.
Oh, they always are. They always are. I'm just hoping it lets me get up earlier. I got a bad habit. I keep hitting the fucking snooze button. But I need to get up earlier. And if I get up, get my workout in first thing in the day, I'm usually feeling pretty good most of the day and all that. But last few weeks, I've been like dragging. So hopefully that'll help me.
I've been retired since July, and I've gotten up at 4 a.m. every day.
Never.
All right. Good for you, Dave. I'm up at 5, so.
Yeah, usually I'm right about that.
That's the way it should be.
I'll go to bed around 9 or 10.
Except tonight.
Oh, it's past your bedtime then.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I'm going to play this out so you can get to bed, Dave, and I can get to bed because I got to get up and work out tomorrow morning. Here we go. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy your week. Here is your promos.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
Shut up.
Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it pretty young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It stars like Matthew Perry start dying, and it really, that it's so close to my age, I'm like, ugh.
That's you heard how he died, right?
He drowned.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, man. Yeah, he had played paddleball that day, and he was in this hot tub.
Pickleball.
And I guess his assistant.
That's the pickleball that did it.
Yeah, pickleball.
Yeah,
so,
pickleball.
Yeah. And he stood up, and I guess he had a low blood pressure event or something like that, and passed out and banged his head.
Damn.
And drowned.
Must have been by himself. Yeah, I mean, he's 54. I'm like, I'm 52. I'm like,
younger than
stay out of the hot tub.
Make
sure somebody watching you.
You know what? I'd love to put a hot in at the house here, but wife won't let me. And then Bobby Knight
died today. Yeah, I saw that. Indiana basketball
coach. Who's Bobby Knight?
Yep.
85 years old, I think.
Yep.
That's a good age.
Temper. Yeah.
85's a good age. 54
yeah, that's
is
a good age.
No, 54,
no.
That's too young. I'd been dead 3 years ago if I had to die at 54.
Well, you must see it too. When you're connected to the IRC channel server,
yeah,
you get the a bunch of people. Do you see a bunch of people trying to tell you to come on over to?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, what's the point?
I don't know either.
Like. Does anybody ever be, anybody ever like, you know what? I should be over there. Of course. Why not? I mean.
Why didn't I think of this sooner?
Yeah. I mean, between the trying to do like haha spooky things and the racist and sexist comments. Like, I'm like, why? Why? I gotta get out of there and come back in. It's so annoying. You still take naps in the afternoon?
When the grandson sleeps, I try to.
Oh, there you go.
I had one nap today.
I'll tell you what, Dave.
I truly enjoy a nap.
Oh, me too.
And sometimes I'm like, I'm just going to lay down for 20 minutes. And then 2 hours later, I'm like, I might as well just go stay in bed the rest of the night.
When I was working, I took a 50-minute nap every day at lunch.
So nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that time when you opened the chlorine bucket and yes. burned your lungs? Oh, my yep. goodness.
I'm still paying for that occasionally. I have to hit an inhaler every once in a while.
Oh, God. That. Oof. You still have a pool?
Yeah, but we've not opened it 2 years.
Right. You were talking about that, if I recall.
Yep. We'll try to open it next year.
Now, is it above ground or in ground?
It's in ground.
Is that like when your grandson comes over, is that like scared the heck out of you?
Not yet.
When he's around, you're like, oh, we got to make sure that he can't get near that pool.
It may be different with him. I'm not sure. I mean, I've saved a couple of people, other people's kids' lives, you know, that were running towards it, and I stopped them at the last minute or had to jump in and grab somebody. You know, as a pool owner, for years and years, you eventually end up having to do that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm...
Hello.
I'll be watchful.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Not much. Picking up the heavy things.
Ay, ay, ay. Dun, dun, dun. Hey, somebody said that there's new changes made to my account. And I now have access up to $457 in unsecured working capital. Guess I should create this account. Right? Yeah. I started getting all these when Dave came back on the show.
They're selling your phone number.
Wonder if Joel's going to join us tonight.
Oh, he's probably doing something churchy.
Well, it is Wednesday. Oy, oy, oy. It's 1,025. All right.
A lot of episodes.
Oh, wait, what is this? I thought I just saw Iron Maiden. Yeah. Oh. You know, I find myself, Dave, ending up taking naps like on a Thursday and a Friday. Towards the end of the week, I just get like, I'm like, oh, it's time for a nap.
I take them when I can.
And a Sunday afternoon.
Screwed up my nap schedule.
You nap regularly, Joe?
Oh, I used to, you know, nap lunch every day.
Oh. I did that for 33 years.
I need to, I actually need to sleep more. I'm getting like 4 to 6 hours of sleep a night, and that's definitely not healthy.
I couldn't do that after I turned 40, I think, maybe 35. I just couldn't do that anymore. I used to live off 4 hours sleep, but that anymore.
I hear you, man. No. If I don't get more than 7 hours, like 7 or more hours of sleep at night, I'm a wreck the next day.
Hey.
I got to start sleeping more. Because every now and then I'll just come across a day where I can't do a goddamn thing except call in sick and go to bed. And then I usually wake up the next day.
It's like bifocals. They're inevitable. You'll have to get more sleep one day.
And I know I should do it. It's just, you know, I got my schedule. What am I supposed to do? Give up time with the wife? Give up time with the kids? I can't give up time working.
Yeah.
9 o'clock. I'll never get late again.
Oy, oy, oy. Ah. Wait, what am I paying here? What am I paying here? Oh, yeah, okay. All right. What time is it? I guess we're going to start the show. Joel will get here eventually. Right when we're about to talk about something important, he'll come in and
start talking about his house.
His HOA. You guys own your homes?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, we're looking. We're going to start looking to buy a house. Although, we kind of want to wait until it's a better market.
Well, yeah, now is a terrible time to buy a house.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to be getting better for several years. Or at least not that much better for several years. And you probably want to wait until this fallout with the, commissions is done going through the courts. So probably next year sometime.
Yeah, so realistically, that's even if that probably would be the earliest. Oh,
you know, the problem is, like, we love this area, but I'm like, I don't want to buy a house in this area because in, like, a decade or so, it's going to be underwater from what they're saying, you know?
Yeah, 15 years.
So buy something a few miles inland, it'll be beachfront property by then. Ay, ay, ay.
But I just heard about that court case today that, real estate companies were manipulating the commission system in order to, you know, make more money, and we're paying more than, like, double what any other country pays in commissions.
Because why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I guess. Watching the hen house.
What's that? What's that, Dave?
I like the fox watching the hen house.
Yeah. Why not?
All right. Let's wang dang this show. This 1025.